1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." We see a world today that is growing so much different. You know, we hear everybody says this, and it's no, I'm not bringing anything new to light. I know that. But it's really true how much the simplicity that we used to feel, and we've, you know, people have always talked about simpler times and going back. I wish I could go back to simpler times. Maybe you watch an old television show, something back, and you say, oh, those were simpler times. But the reality of what we're dealing with and what we live with what we carry around in our pocket, what the amount of information that is stored right here, can you imagine what the inventors of electricity and telephone and those things like that would see and say if they were to be able to see what we have now? And so the talk in this day and time is even that there are greater things coming that are so mind-blowing that we're on the edge of great new, even exponentially greater knowledge coming in the near future, with so many things that they're working on, things like nanobots that would go into inside your body that would heal and correct problems and those things. We got to thinking about this a little bit as we talk sometimes after services during every week, and we look at different things and we hear the news and we hear the two sides of the news. And now we're coming into a place where it is almost impossible to believe anything. Like, I have become so dead to believe in things because you have to just, it's almost like you have to develop this attitude that I'll hear it, but I won't make a decision of whether I believe it or not. It's almost like you store information without biting. You don't want to jump because then you find out, well, that wasn't true after all. And this has been going on forever to some extent. But now we're coming to the point where you can absolutely prove anything. You can find enough information to back up any source, anything that's going on. A few years ago, I was stumbled across a video of Glenn Beck, a radio host. And he's a very controversial individual. He talks about things a lot of times. Sometimes he probably gets off on something, or he speculates on something he thinks is going to happen and probably misses the boat here and there. But yet at the same time, he talks about some interesting things. And a few years ago, I stumbled across this video, and he was talking about the fact that in his intro said that it's going to come to the point where we will not be able to believe anything we see or anything we hear. And he went on to talk about how he showed this video, and it was a video side by side, live driving down a road. And one of the videos was a pretty sunny spring day, and the other video, same trip, the other was a snow covered drive. So it's a video filming as you're driving down the road. And he asked, which one of these is real? And so he said he had shown this to all his video people that he deals with and stuff like that, and they couldn't figure it out. But in real time, the algorithms from these computers were actually placing snow on everything in that video. So the video was actually filmed on a sunny, pretty spring day, but they were able to take with algorithms and the computers to add snow to everything you saw, cars, trees, houses, yards, everything, in real time. And he said, and he talked about what would be the implications of these things, that where they could place you in a certain spot on a video and show this video with showing that you were there and you weren't actually there. We see these game things a little bit on her phone where you can, I don't know if you've seen those, where you can be on Facebook or something and you can take a picture and all the surroundings behind you put you on the beach or something. So you can snap a picture and it almost looks real at this point in time. It's not quite there, but yet the technology is becoming so good. Could you bring me that water, baby? Sorry. The technology is becoming so good. And the talk and conversation is that this is only the tip of the iceberg, that the things that are coming now are going to be so much greater. The speculation is in just a few years that there won't be a need for you to go to a doctor to tell you what's wrong, because there are going to be computer programs that will be able to take millions and millions and millions of samples and be able to take a blood sample or something like that from you, run it in there, and tell you exactly what is wrong with you. They say that the cure for cancer is right on, that they are on the edge of it. There have actually been trials of things now that is have a 100% success rate. And all of this is coming out of building these supercomputers and artificial intelligence that's being used, and what are the implications of those things? This computer that we're looking at, this technology that we're looking at, is actually going to be able to take, if you think about it, all of man's knowledge, every man, every failure and every success, and compile it all together into one program that will spit out an answer at the bottom that tells you the best answer that man can come up with. Sounds great. And in some ways it sounds like, wow, you know, this could be really good for humanity and society. But wow, if we take all of man's answers, then we won't need God anymore, will we? Because the man has all the answers. At some, you know, everyone has a piece of the puzzle, right? So if we take the best of man and put all the best of man into one artificial intelligence, he almost becomes the superman himself. That artificial intelligence becomes that. And God's answers then become irrelevant, as they are becoming in our society. Our common sense, though, in this day and age, because we, as we try to figure things out, and you go to the grocery store and you go to the deodorant aisle and you try to buy a stick of deodorant, and you almost have a meltdown because you try to figure out which one, unless you just stick with the old Right Guard or something like that that you've been using for years. But you see these expansions of what's coming. I remember when I was growing up, I remember three or four flavors of potato chips. You probably do too. You know, you had sour cream and onion, plain, barbecue, and that was about it. And now a potato chip aisle in a Walmart is 100 feet long, with every variety and everything. And so while we enjoy the variety in some ways, in some other ways, when we're trying to prove things or figure things out, it becomes overwhelming to actually find the truth on any subject, and to know that you can prove that truth becomes overwhelming. And then, like I said, you can turn around and prove the opposite side too, because someone else has written proof on these things. We used to be able to go to books and say, we can go to a book, we can learn. We can go to the encyclopedia, and I can find this answer on the encyclopedia. But now we find varied opinions on everything. There's no authority on anything anymore. And it's a scary thing. This is putting us down a dark, very dark path, that while there's so much knowledge, all of this knowledge is getting put together and twisted and turned, and some for some people's gain, and others just out of pure deceit. They don't know, or whatever the reason, but we take all of mankind and we put them all in together, and we create this computer God that now is supposed to be answering all of our questions and solving all of our problems. 1 Corinthians 14 when we think about the simplicity that is in Christ, that goes very contrary to what we're seeing in our society. We don't see simplicity anymore, even though we're finding ways to make things easier and faster, you know, what we can do. But verse 33 tells us, common scripture we use, that God is not the author of confusion. And so even though mankind takes all of his answers and puts it all into this hub and spits out an answer at the bottom, all the failures, all the things that were done wrong, all the things that were done right, and comes out with the very best answer, it says God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. God doesn't have to go do trial and error to figure out what's right and wrong. He knows what answers. He knows how to cure diseases. He knows how to heal things. He knows how to solve and fix our problems. He knows what we need to do. The only thing that God leaves to our vices is that we are able to make those choices. And so because we are able to make the choices, God takes a hands-off approach, and that way he'll steer us, he'll guide us, he'll give us gentle pushes, sometimes firmer pushes, but yet at the end of the day, the answer has to come from us. We have to make the decision on how we handle things. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. One of my favorite scriptures when I think about things that are confusing, and we see how people operate sometimes, and if you've ever worked much with the public or dealt with individuals, you see that there's not this spirit of a sound mind. Verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And if you've ever been dealing with working with a group of people for some reason and trying to solve a problem, and you see how humans solve problems, and you've ever been in that spot where you scratch your head and you say, "What are they doing? Why, this makes no sense whatsoever." And yet, we have that spirit of a sound mind. The simple, easy answers sometimes are really just the best answer. But can we be deceived? Even in this day and age, can we be deceived? What can happen to us if we start to look in a different direction than this simplicity that's in Christ? If we start to look to these magnificent creations that man is making, then what happens to us? If we get bogged down by all the conspiracy theories, by all the answers that are coming from the Glenn Becks or the CNNs or the Elon Musks or whatever else that's going on out there, what can happen if we get bogged down in all of this information? If you were to start today and try to research everything that's going on that you had even any curiosity about, to really get a fair view of it, where you look at it from all sides. I'm going to look at it from this side and this side and read all the information that's coming out about, say, these Twitter files. Can you imagine how much time that it would take you to read through and research and discuss and figure out all the different sides of this? And you know what the answer is? We don't have to. That's not something we have to do. We don't have to prove all of these things, thankfully, because we couldn't. And even if we think that we could, what we find out is that we'll miss a piece. And so without all sides of anything, it's hard to make a judgment call on exactly what's going on. It's good that we are keeping our eyes open, and we need to. We also have to be careful not to get too bogged down in the world and in the news and those things like that, because we realize that we're being lied to somewhere, some way, somehow, because it can't be black and white. It can't be black, white, and gray. And now it's a rainbow of colors. If you pick, whichever way you want it to be. I was some time back, just interesting. I was working on a guitar, and I needed to polish a guitar, and I had some orange oil, and I thought, well, maybe I can use this orange oil on this guitar to kind of bring it back a little bit, clean it up a little, and give it a little bit of luster. So we started looking, and Langland was with me, and first thing I found, I said, no, don't use orange oil on a guitar. I said, Langland, find me something that says I can use orange oil on a guitar. And sure enough, I found something that said I could. So you know what? I did. You can prove anything you want. That's the thing. You can prove it one way or prove it the other. And so therefore, it's not really proof, is it? If we can prove anything we want by someone's writing or someone else's writing over here, then what is truth? Well, man doesn't have truth. Unless it lines up with God's word and what God says, all of this other stuff goes out the window. Matthew 24 and verse 24 reminds us, we've heard these scriptures a lot, but we're coming into time that we know when these things are going to start being meaningful, like really meaningful. We haven't seen these prophecies come to life yet. We're waiting for them. We don't know exactly what they mean. Down to a T, we don't know. We just know the overview, and that's all we're kind of given is how we... But what does it mean? There will be, in verse 24, there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. We know those things have happened already, but to what extent are these things going to continue? Well, we know that it tells us that they'll show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that if it were possible, they will deceive even the very elect. Is it possible? Well, it is possible, because we make the choice on what we believe and whether we say, well, God, I'm not going to follow you on this. I'm going to go my own way. I think this is the better way. And yeah, you know, it's hard for us, because we have to try to make decisions from day to day. We know that. We have to try to make, what's the best decision for my family? What's the best decision for myself? What should I do over here in my job? But we need to remember that our reliance on God to correct us, to give us answers, to show us, and sometimes those answers, I know we all understand and agree, they're just not clear. Sometimes those answers are just not clear. And we have to just go down the road still saying, God, if I'm wrong, correct me, help me, you know, pull me back out of this if I'm going the wrong direction, and help me to figure out what it is that I need to do. And that's really the only source of truth and hope that we have, is that Spirit of God that's in us, that God can work with us, He can correct us, He can convict us, He can teach us, He can show us. And it's not, again, it's not always clear. Sometimes He allows us to make mistakes before we find the right answer. If you'll turn to 2 Thessalonians for the final scripture, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 9. Go to verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power. And we think about what's coming here. All power. This individual is going to have all power and signs and lying wonders. Things that are going to start to make us scratch our heads and say, wow, that's pretty impressive. And how that comes about exactly, we don't know. And with all deceivableness and of unrighteousness. So whatever's going on here you know, and probably is going to be a mixture of good and evil, because that's what mankind is. We probably are going to see some good and some evil come out of it, but we know that ultimately it's out of unrighteousness. In them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they may be saved. Give me just a second. I want to catch this in the New King James. Verse 11, and for this reason, because we didn't, or they didn't receive the love of the truth, and at that point in time it says God will send them strong delusion. It sounds really like this deceit and this all power and signs and lying wonders would be delusion in itself, but yet then it sounds like God, because of that, goes ahead and sends strong delusion as well. So how confusing are things going to get for us? And when you think about confusion versus simplicity, they're so far apart. Verse 12, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning, and this is talking about us, chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, in which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold. He talks about, he says, hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Leaving us with that admonition there, do we need to continue on in that simplicity? I think we're going to see, if what I think we all talk about each and every week, we hear about all these crazy things that are going on. And I think what we're going to see is these things continue to elevate. If you're watching the news, and not just the mainstream news, but you're looking at some of these things, you're hearing, and we talk about these things after services a lot of times. Everybody knows that there are a lot of crazy things going on out there, talking about the Great Reset or what's coming with this country or how it's, and we know that those things are quite possibly true, but to the extent and how they come, we don't know. But we are going to see power and signs and lying wonders. We know that. And so we need to make sure that we hold fast to the truth and hold fast to the simplicity that's in Christ.